Thank you, Brother Marvin. Good to see everybody. You'll find my text this morning in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, if you want to turn there with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, a poem. We've been going through the book of 1 Corinthians, and I've just been looking at some statements that suggest some things to my mind, and this is one that we looked at just a few weeks ago, and I want just to read verse 53 to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 53. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. I want you to think with me for just a few minutes about this corruptible and this mortal. And here in the context of chapter 15, you that read your Bible, you know what this is about. The Apostle Paul has been teaching about the physical resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as a result of his resurrection, the resurrection of all his people. He said, Christ is risen from the dead and became the first fruits of them that slept. He's the first one to rise from the dead, never to die again, but he's only the first. His people will follow him someday. In Adam, Paul said, all die. We died physically as well as spiritually. But in Christ shall all be made alive. He quickens our soul, gives us life to our soul. But in Christ, all that's in him shall be made alive physically. Look back in the 15th chapter in verse 23. Paul is saying here in verse 22, as in Adam all die, in Christ shall all be made alive, but every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, and afterwards they that are Christ at his coming. Our Lord Jesus is coming again. Came the first time. I remember Brother Henry always said that as you read the Old Testament, the prophets said somebody is coming. He's coming. And the gospel says we found him. He's come. But in the epistles, he's coming again. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming again, and he's the first fruit. He's coming again physically, and he's going to raise from the dead those who are in him, a physical resurrection. He said this, the hour is coming that all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and come forth. Raised by the power, the mere power, if you could say it that way, the mere voice of the Son of God. The bodies are going to be raised from the dead. But here in our text, here in verse 50, the Apostle Paul begins to broaden his subject. He says here, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. The mystery here is not the resurrection of the dead. That wasn't a mystery. You can find out through the Old Testament scripture. David said, I'll be satisfied when I wake in his likeness. And Job said, I'll see my Redeemer in my flesh. The mystery seems to be this. What will happen to those who are alive and remain when the Lord Jesus Christ comes? And as I've searched the Old Testament scriptures, I can't find any place where any of the prophets ever mentioned what's going to happen to those who are alive when our Lord comes. And that's what the Apostle Paul is telling us here in verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. And seemed like Paul mainly is the one that dealt with this subject. When the Lord Jesus Christ comes back again, many of his people are going to be alive. What's going to happen to them? And Paul said, this mortal will put on immortality. I want you to turn to a couple of familiar scriptures. Look over to your right in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. The Apostle Paul mentions this in different places in the Scriptures. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, a very familiar passage. Look in chapter 4 and verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. They've died, they're dead in the Lord. That ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or go ahead of them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. So the mystery that Paul reveals to us is there's going to be believers that are alive when the Lord comes. And when he comes, he's going to change them. Look how he says it in Philippians. Back over to your left in Philippians chapter 3. And look in verse 20. Philippians chapter 3 and in verse 20. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20. For our conversation, our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. The Apostle Paul said, when the Lord comes again, he is going to change our vile body. If the body is dead, if it's died in Christ, it's corruptible. It'll be raised incorruptible. But Paul said, those which are alive and remain, they'll be changed. And this vile body will be made like unto the glorious body of the Lord Jesus Christ. In another place, he said, it's sown in dishonor. It'll be raised in glory. Now it's weak. It'll be raised in power. It'll be changed from a natural body into a spiritual body and fashioned like unto the glorious body of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what the Lord Jesus said about that day? They shall shine as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. The Jews used to have an old saying that when the dead are raised, they're going to have the image of Adam before he fell. It's better than that. It's more glorious than that. They're going to have the image of the resurrected Lord. Now that's amazing, isn't it? That's amazing. He shall change our vile body and fashion it like unto his glorious body. That's beyond us to grasp. To change somebody like us, one of us, to change one of us, the power that it's going to take to do that, one of us, is beyond the power of man, beyond our ability to comprehend such power. I was reading just the other day where the United States Navy has a plane now that will fly 13,000 miles an hour. The technology that we've come up with is absolutely amazing, isn't it? But one thing we cannot do and will never be able to do is this, to change of our body and fashion it like unto his body. And Paul said he's going to do it in the twinkling of an eye. Kodak Company years ago, they calculated how much time that is, and they said it's 1/1000th of a second. 1/1000th of a second. And magnify that and multiply that by countless numbers. And when our Lord comes again, He is going to change these vile bodies. He's going to raise the corruptible bodies and make them just like Himself. The dead shall hear His voice. Those that are in the grave shall hear His voice. And they shall come alive. And we shall be changed. And how will He do that? With the working whereby He is able. He is able. And Paul tells us here in our text in verse 50 of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the necessity of that change, because he tells us in that verse, "This I say unto you, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God." That's the necessity of this change. We're earthbound, aren't we? You and I used to say God has made heaven for humanity, but really He's making humanity for heaven. We can't go there in our present condition. It's impossible for us to go there as we are because we're earthbound, we're earthlings. We can't even get out of this atmosphere and exist. There are some creatures that have to be in their atmosphere. Fish has to be in the water, don't they? They'll die if you get them out in the air. You take us out of the air and put us in water, we die. And Paul said it's impossible that in our present state that we can inherit the kingdom of heaven. We can't go there as we are. So we must be changed to inherit the kingdom of heaven. And you know, apart from this revelation, I show you a mystery. Apart from that revelation, we would not know how we're going to heaven in our bodies. I show you a mystery. We're going to be changed and caught up with the Lord to meet Him in the air. This corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Then the body can go to heaven, but not till then. This change from physical to spiritual is absolutely necessary if our souls and body are to be united again and enjoy our Lord for all eternity. For flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, this corruptible must be changed, and this mortal must be changed. Now, what does this suggest to our minds? Let me give you a few things this suggests to our minds. First of all, this, it tells us this, that our salvation and the consummation of it is not yet complete. We're not fully saved, are we? We're still waiting, aren't we, for the consummation of our eternal salvation. And it tells us that you and I are just as utterly dependent upon the Lord Jesus Christ to finish this work as we were for Him to begin it. We can't a bit more finish the work than we could begin it. He has come to us in His Spirit through the gospel. He's quickened us from the dead. He's given us His life in our soul. He's made us new creatures. We were utterly dependent upon Him to do that for us. You can't birth yourself. You had nothing to do with your natural birth, and what did you have to do with your spiritual birth? He began that work, and we're just as utterly dependent upon Him, brothers and sisters, to finish this work. That is to change these vile bodies and fashion them like unto His glorious body. We're utterly dependent upon Him for that. And we truly believe that where grace is begun, heaven will be won at last. God predestinated us to be conformed to the image of His Son. That work has already begun. You have a new creature within you, down deep inside you, that's been made in the likeness of the Son of God. You can't see it. Very seldom you can even detect it. But He's there, a new creature, created in righteousness and true holiness. And now we're waiting for the hope to be conformed to the very image of Jesus Christ physically as well as spiritually. Our salvation, we're waiting. Now is our salvation nearer than which when we believe. As I thought of this, it suggested something else to my mind, and it was this. You and I should not be overly sad, and we should, certainly should not live hopelessly when we realize what a low state our poor loved ones are in who has died and who are now with the Lord. As far as their bodies are concerned, man, they've decayed, haven't they? They've rotted away. They're vile. They're stinking. They aren't fit for this world, even this evil world. We buried our loved ones. We put them out of our sight. We had to, because they were ready to start decaying. But we have hope for them. This verse doesn't hide the awful fact of death from us. It tells us exactly what's happened to our loved ones who have died. They are corruptible. They are decaying. They're rotted. We have to put them out of our sight. I sat here last night and boy, bring back some memories when you come into this building. And Ben Cindy was sitting over there where Bob and Margaret sat. And I looking around, and I thought about Glenn and Jean and Fred and June and this so many others. Linda and I was talking about her mom. And used to see Scott sitting over there while I was trying to preach with his feet propped up on the desk. And boy, we've lost loved ones, haven't we? We've got their memories in our hearts. We've remembered their smiles, the sparkle in their eyes, their sweet voices and their hugs. And the preachers we've lost. Man, look at the preachers we've lost that we remember sitting under them when the Holy Spirit would come upon those men. Boy, they'd speak to our hearts. And they're gone. They're corruptible. They're in their graves. We wouldn't want to go look upon them. It would be repulsive. But we have hope for them, don't we? This is the hope that we have for them. This corruptible must put on incorruption. We don't despair of our loved ones who have died in the Lord. One day the Lord Jesus is going to raise them. And we have hope for them. And you won't find a hope like that anyplace else. This is a gospel hope. You'll only find this hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. And outside Jesus Christ, we'd have to say, those who have fallen asleep, they've perished. But not in Christ. Our loved ones here that you knew and all the dear preachers that preach the gospel to us, we have hope for them. Scott's coming out of that grave, isn't he? May just lack the Lord Jesus Christ. This corruptible shall put on incorruption. Don't live despairing for our loved ones who have died in Christ. Envy them. As I read this scripture, I thought of this. You and I who are still alive should not be despondent or doubtful of our hope in Christ as we realize what a sad and humiliating state that we are in ourselves. A vile body? Who's he talking to? Us who are alive. A vile body? Job said, man that's born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. He comes forth like a flower and he's cut down. He withers. All the goodliness of man is like the flower of the field. The grass withereth and the flower just fades away. What are we? We're just fading, aren't we? Fading things. Yeah, just a few years ago, I was a teenager. Now I'm a fading, dried up flower. James said it's just like that steam that comes off the water, the boiling water. It's gone. It's gone. It's worse than that, isn't it? This vile body. That's what the Bible says about us, this vile body. Let me give you some synonyms for this word vile. I looked this word up, and here's some synonyms for the word vile. See if you can get a hold of this. See if you can say, yeah, that's it. Odious, repulsive, revolting, disgusting, extremely unpleasant, foul, nasty, bad, disagreeable, horrid, dreadful, sickening, nauseated, obnoxious, abominable, loathsome, hateful. Our vile body. Next time you have a bad bowel movement, that's vile. That's what I am. And yet, the Scripture says here, He shall change this vile body. This vile, dying mortal shall put on that which is holy and pure and undefiled and unchanging, where there's no pain, no sorrow, no dying, no tears. This mortal must put on immortality. And Peter said, hope to the end for that. Hope to the end for that grace that's to be brought unto you. Brothers and sisters, when we look at ourselves, when God really shows us ourselves, it's not pretty. The Scriptures never hide. Our Lord will not lie to us. We're vile. Our bodies are vile. Everything connected with our bodies are vile. This suggests something else to our mind. In this present life, right now, this flesh cannot be improved. You can dress it up. You can do everything you can to keep it healthy. You can abstain from everything and anything negative that might have some negative results upon the body. Even from outward sin, forbidden of God and man, you can live a separated life that would bring a monk to shame. And yet in the end, this body is mortal and it's vile and you cannot make it better. It's utterly impossible. Some years ago, I think they about give this up now, but years ago they used to talk about getting a second work of grace and having the old sinful root blown out and you're not a sinner anymore. And some have dreamed of some sort of a progressive sanctification that you keep laying aside sin and the sin of the heart and the sin of the flesh, and afterwards you can reach this state of perfection. What a dream. What a silly dream. You and I come into this world in vile bodies. We live in vile bodies. And when we die, our bodies will be vile. That's what we are. And if our hope is not outside of ourselves, we'll die for all eternity. The best thing that you and I can hope for and expect, brothers and sisters, in this life is just to keep this old body in check. Everything about it's vile, isn't it? I mean, it's vile. The limbs are vile. It houses a vile nature that cannot be comprehended and can never be made better. Our hope is not being better. My hope is I'm getting worse. I'm getting worse. I asked Brother Scott one time. I said, Scott, I'm having a terrible time. I said, does it get any better as you get old? He said, it hasn't for me. Getting worse, isn't it? Our hope is not it's going to get better. Our hope is not I'm getting better. I'm not on some higher plane. That's not my hope. My hope is Jesus Christ lives and He's coming again. And He's going to change this vile body and fashion it like unto His glory. That's our hope, isn't it? That which is flesh is flesh. And that's all it's ever going to be. We must apply this text in a very personal way, bring it right down home to ourselves, as the Apostle Paul did, and say, this corruptible and this mortal. We go to the cemetery and see a loved one there who has died in Christ. We lay our hands on their cold, hard chest, and when we do, say this corruptible shall put on incorruption. That'll take the sting out of it, the heartbreak out of it. This corruptible that I'm looking at, that's lifeless and hard and cold, this corruptible must put on incorruption. And when we look at ourselves and all our vileness, we must say this mortal, this vile mortal that I am, and I'll never be any better, this mortal that seems so hopeless and heaven seems so out of reach, this mortal must put on immortality. And this mortal shall put on immortality when Jesus Christ comes again. Apply this to yourself. Are you in Christ? Dear child of God, your hope is real. It's not going to always be like it is now, these old dying vile frames. There's a change coming. Everything's going to change, and you're going to change. You're going to change. Look how this great hope is connected to our present stability of mind. Look what Paul says back over in our text, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Boy, this, if anything in this world is going to help you keep a steady mind and keep in your right mind, it's going to be this hope, this living, lively hope. Wouldn't your heart break if you didn't have hope this morning? Knowing what you know now, just looking around us and seeing how bad things got, what's it going to be in eternity? Oh, our hearts would break. But to live in the reality and the faith of this hope, boy, it'd give you peace. It'd give you confidence. It'll help stable your poor wandering brain. Paul says it like this in verse 58. Therefore, in the light of all of this, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable. This hope is grounded in heaven. And it's a sure and steadfast hope. Live in the reality of that hope. And then he says this, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Always be abounding. You've got this wonderful hope in a coming Christ. Always be abounding in love. In giving, forgiving, having compassion, showing mercy, always be abounding in the work of the Lord. For just as sure as there's a coming world, your labor won't be in vain in the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord bless you. God, the Lord bless you.